Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. I had originally hoped to have a guest for today's show, but that fell through. I started too late on trying to get that timing in, so that's on me. I apologize to you guys. Today's show is going to be pretty straightforward. The topic of Julius Randle and Brook Lopez, I think at this point, have been just about fully reported. And so with all of that information that I've been able to glean from other reporters and that some of stuff that I have on my own, I'm going to be able to go fully into those things. And I know they are both guys that obviously, as it was reported by Bill Orme of the Athletic, those are both guys that the coaching staff wanted back. The front office made a decision to go in a different direction. But it's hard to, it's not necessarily that simple. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer you as much context as I possibly can, dating back to last year, even before last year started. And then from there, I'm going to go into, you know, how this should have played out, what the Lakers missed out on, and all of that. And then finally, I'm going to get into what looks to be the beginnings of an organization fully going after each other. The snipes in the media, like, that's not, it depends on your frame of mind here. If you really believe, if you're like me and you want to lean into the ridiculousness, then this is the time that you want to be a Lakers fan. But if you still believe in the goodness of the Lakers and the virtue of the purple and gold and all that stuff, you're probably heading into what's going to be a pretty frustrating time. So that'll be in segment three. It's going to be a semi-shorter show today because you guys don't want to hear me ramble on and on and on and on about this stuff. So get ready for this. Let's dive into it, though. Let's start here with dating back to last year. From what I've heard, there was a meeting that took place between Magic Johnson and Julius Randle that didn't go particularly well. I don't know if that it didn't go well from whose side, who was disappointed with the other. But we do know that after that meeting took place during the offseason where Julius Randle completely transformed his body. I've also kind of sort of heard some stuff about Randle wanted to be extended at what would have been his cap hold last summer. And once that didn't happen, there was some ill will held towards the front office at that point. And remember, back then, that would have cut into the Lakers' salary, their cap space. And so they weren't interested in doing that for Julius Randle. As it turns out, all they walked away from, it's hard to say all they walked away from, but they didn't, I think at the time when they told Randle they weren't going to extend him, they still thought they had a chance at Paul George. And then it turned out at season's end that they didn't. And the front office doesn't seem like the kind of people who would kick themselves over anything. But I think if you were to give them truth serum, they would have preferred to just extend Julius Randle at what his cap hold would have been. And it was, I believe it was only at about, I think it was $12 or $13 million. So if they could have extended him at $12 or $13 million, maybe have a player option at the end of year one or year two, at the very least, you have a useful NBA player who is still in-house. And if you really desperately need to clear up cap space again, there would have been teams lining up to acquire Julius Randle if he only had a year or two left on his contract at $12 or $13 million. So that's all here. That's all gone, though, right? That didn't happen. And then, as you guys recall, Julius Randle headed into the year and was coming off of the bench and not playing very much. And I don't know how much of that now. If Luke Walton and his camp are willing to go on the record now, and now they went on the record anonymously, but if his coaching staff and his camp are willing to go on the record and tell reporters that they wanted Julius back, it leads me to believe that Julius Randle not playing last year was a matter of walking orders from on high. And once that happened, the relationship was completely frayed, and I don't think the Lakers ever really had a particularly high shot of bringing Julius Randle back. That was done. I think that decision was made on both sides heading into the year, and by the time it got to July, I think that relationship had eroded so heavily that there was just no chance of doing that. And I'll get into analyzing those kinds of things here in a bit. As it pertains to Brook Lopez, a lot of the same things are there. Now, Brook Lopez said after the season that he would have taken less to stay in LA if they built a really good team. He has since said all of the right things by saying that he was surprised that the Lakers never offered him a deal. I think that's him kind of chiding the front office a little bit. I think that's him getting back at the Lakers. Again, with Brook Lopez, I've heard from behind the scenes that he was not interested in coming back. That was done. There was that one game, I believe it was a home game, where Lopez at one point had a towel over his head and then had to walk back to the locker room to collect himself, came back out onto the bench, and I don't know if he ever made his way back into the game or whatever, but he was very frustrated, not just with, you know, the minutes going up and down, but the lack of communication. And communication is something that's Luke Walton's job to handle, right? And this is where he's not, you know, while we have those reports of Luke Walton wanting these guys back, and maybe Luke Walton should be a general manager. I don't know. I don't think he should. But you know, while he might have wanted those guys back, he played a role, he played a part in making it, getting that situation to the point where they did not want to come back. And that's by, you know, the caveat to the caveat there is that was a result of him taking walking orders and marching orders and moving with them and handling the team as such. But, you know, at some point, if you're really that adamant about somebody, you wanting somebody back and thinking that they're a valuable asset to the team, well, that's where sometimes you kind of mention to your boss, hey, just look at the results eventually. And the results were there, I believe, with Randle and Lopez out there together on the court. That pairing made a lot of sense. It made a lot of sense when the roster was put together, and then it made a lot of sense over the course of the season, and we weren't seeing it at first, and that didn't make very much sense. So it's hard to say where those lines were drawn and who crossed which line or whatever. But this idea that the Lakers made a decision heading into or in last summer, during last summer, that they just weren't going to bring those guys back, that wasn't the case. No, they made that decision a year in advance. And so in the next segment, I'm going to talk a little bit about a trend with this front office under Magic Johnson that I really think they need to cut this out. So we'll come back and we'll talk about that. So one thing that we're learning with with this front office, and I don't know if it's a matter of inexperience, I don't know if it's a matter of if there's something else that's going into these decisions that make more sense to those involved. I'm not sure what's going on there, but this front office likes to make decisions on players well in advance before they actually have to make those decisions. D'Angelo, and I'm sorry, you guys are going to roll your eyes when I mention his name, but D'Angelo Russell was traded a year before he had to be traded. They created cap space a year before they had to create that cap space. And in doing so, they missed out on, and you know, what was D'Angelo Russell as promising last year as he's been this year? No. Is there a chance that no matter what happens, he's still in Brooklyn and he's still having the season that he's having right now elsewhere? Obviously. But they made this decision on D'Angelo Russell way before they had to. They didn't have to trade him when they traded him. They didn't have to. Remember, the cap space that they opened up is for the second max guy now. The idea that they had to trade him a full year in advance, it's just not right. It's just not true. So that's what they did with D'Angelo Russell. With I already talked in last segment about them making their minds up heading into the year. While they still had these guys under their employ, they made up their minds with Julius Randle and with Brooke Lopez. That makes no sense whatsoever. Thomas Bryant never really got onto the court for the Lakers, and somehow they decided it was a good call to get rid of him before they could really see what they had in him and a player. You know what his true shooting percentage is right now? It's over 68%. That's like one of the highest in the league, if not the highest, with the, you know, for players who have played as many minutes as he has. That's what they missed out on him. And he's doing this in his second year, right? And he's a young second-year player. So that's a player that they miss, right? Ivica Zubac, they said that they needed to trade him because they weren't going to be able to pay him in the summer. Well, guess what you do? You renounce his rights come summertime. You don't have to make that decision. You don't have to trade him now. You don't have to trade him when your team desperately needs a center during a playoff race to a team that you're trying to catch in the standings. You don't have to do that. And with all of these decisions, they're being made well in advance of when they actually have to. And my thing is, like, what's the rush here? These things don't have to be done all within the matter of a week. And we have heard that Magic Johnson has a reputation in the Lakers organization for having a bit of an explosive personality. We have heard that, you know, he rides a roller coaster emotionally. He's not exactly cool, calm, and collected all the time. And so it makes you wonder if he's making these moves a little bit too rashly, and nobody in the organization is checking him, right? And, you know, to a certain extent, Jeannie Buss handed the keys over to him. She literally handed the keys over to him. And as such, somebody not stepping up to check him is a result of that responsibility, of that power that was given to him there. And you know, Harrison and I, we just finished recording the Lake Show a second ago. And afterwards, I made the point that, and I, look, this is a hot take. This is probably my hottest take. I said, I think I would probably be better at Magic's job than he would be. And he laughed at me, and I said, it's not for the reason that I think I'm smarter than Magic Johnson. I don't think that at all. I'm no billionaire. I have not made the business decisions that he has made. He is vastly more successful than I am. But the one thing I would do, and the one thing I have done over the course of my career, is I would find people who would challenge me, who would call me out on my crap, and people who fill holes in my abilities. When it comes to podcasting, I knew right away that I am more emotional. I am more of a, I guess what you guys want to call an actual fan, right? And as such, I am very susceptible to fly off the handle. And what I knew in finding somebody I wanted to podcast with, at the time it was Harrison, and then now it is Pete, is I need people to keep me in check. I need people to call me out and say, dude, you're being ridiculous, right? And when I listen to those people, it makes me better at my job. And I don't think Magic Johnson has necessarily found himself somebody who will call him out on that stuff to tell him, Magic, you don't have to. What are you doing trading a number two overall pick a year before you have to, given the promising season that he had as a rookie? What are you doing, right? Why trade D'Angelo Russell before you find out whether or not he can actually play with Lonzo Ball? What are you doing? Nobody called him out on it. They made the trade, and now they probably regret it, right? Now we'll see what happens this upcoming offseason. If they sign a Kevin Durant or a Kawhi Leonard or whatever, then you can say, all right, that deal made sense, and they use that cap space, and they're better off for it, maybe, right? Well, if they get those kinds of guys, then yeah, they will be better off for it. That trade will have been a success, and I'll shut up, and I'll move on, right? But, you know, for right now, they have somebody who is an all-star already. You can play or hate all you want. You can tell me he plays in the Eastern Conference. He was a backup to a backup. Whatever, I don't care. He's still an all-star, and he is still having an incredible season. He's leading. I'm using that word with a purpose here. He is leading his team to a playoff berth, while the Lakers, with LeBron James involved, are nowhere near the playoffs. That's what they have to learn in the immediate future. In the final segment here, I want to talk a little bit about what these shots at each other that various members of the organization are lobbing against each other. We'll talk about what this means moving forward for an organization that hasn't been stable in a really long time. And the hope was that you bring over Magic and he would at least stabilize it a little bit. And it doesn't look like that's going to be the case. So hang on tight. All right, so we have already seen shots lobbed against various members of the Lakers at various points of the takeover, the coup that Jeannie Buss and Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka mounted against Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak. We saw what that looked like initially, where you had reports that, you know, that the Lakers under Mitch Kupchak, they were Boy Scouts. They weren't tampering enough, right? And then, ironically, the tampering that the new administration put in place cost them $500,000, right? We saw with the coach that the previous front office employed, he hasn't gotten at nearly as much support organizationally as he should have, or as the next coach that they hire will probably get, right? And now, that's not to say that he hasn't made mistakes. Luke Walton has a lot of flaws as a coach. But it's objectively true to say that the Lakers didn't do him very many favors, not just with the roster that they constructed, but also from a standpoint of any time stuff came up, it was pretty much only Jeannie Buss who spoke up for him. Now, there was that one time where Magic said that he will not fire Luke Walton this summer or this season unless something drastic happens. But that caveat right there, that still leaves doubt, right? So even that situation he didn't handle perfectly. So we have seen, and look, there was the leak 10 games into the year where it leaked that Magic Johnson was reprimanding Luke Walton for the team's performance at that stage of the season. Like, that's not great. And that was done with a purpose. It was done to show everybody, see, look, this is Magic taking control of the situation, right? That was very obviously a leak so that the new front office could make a part of the previous administration look bad. And, you know, it started early on. And now what we're seeing as the season winds down and as Luke Walton sees the writing on the wall and his camp sees the writing on the wall is now you're going to start to see some of those barbs go back in Magic's direction. And one thing that you know, has been kind of not necessarily directly reported on, it's been something I've been talking about quite a bit, though I don't consider myself and I don't want to be a reporter. But one thing that has been a poorly kept secret has been Magic's the amount of time he spends actually at the facility or around the team, right? And now you're starting to see various aspects or different factions of the organization. The leaks that are starting to happen are that, yeah, Magic isn't around. Magic treats this team as if he's an owner. He leaves Rob Pelinka in charge of the heavy lifting on a day-to-day basis, and he comes and he checks in, and that's how the organization is run, right? Now, my thing is, fine. If that's how Magic wants to operate, that's how a lot of people thought he was going to operate when he took over. But if that's how he's going to operate, well, then you kind of sort of need to recognize that you probably shouldn't override anybody who is there on a day-to-day basis, unless it's something drastic. Unless it's one of those big decisions. How do we pitch to Kevin Durant? How do we pitch to LeBron James? How do we, you know, how do we handle these big things? those small things, those margins, drafting Mo Wagner, for example, those small things you probably should leave to the people who, A, have been really good at this, right? The scouting department has been the most secure aspect of the Lakers organization. Trust those guys. Delegate and then trust. And that not happening, you know, Mo Wagner, now most late first round picks, you don't really expect much from them, but when there were actual stakes on the line for the Lakers, Mo Wagner never really did anything for the Lakers, right? And maybe he'll figure things out. Maybe I have my questions about him, but maybe, you know, at this stage of his career and given what the Lakers needed and the lack of production that they had at his spot, that decision to override them, that decision that Magic Johnson made to override them, has kind of come back to bite them in the butt a little bit. And so get ready for, I think this is going to get a little ugly. I think what we're going to start to see is, you know, people who thought at one time that they could, if they played nice, they could stick around for a little while longer. You know, Luke Walton handling the Brook Lopez and Julius Randle situations the way he did, I think that was his attempt at trying to stick around a little bit longer, not leaking stuff like we are already starting to see. Like that was him, I think, trying to play nice and stick around for at least the end of his contract, right? And maybe time beyond that. But I think what you're going to start to see is you have a lot of people here, especially once Luke Walton is gone, you have a lot of people here who are not used to taking accountability. Jeannie Buss always had Jim Buss as a meat shield. Jim Buss also had Mitch Kupchak, and those guys kind of dealt with PR together. Now, they had flaws in the way that they dealt with it, but that was still their kind of thing. Remember, before the year, or maybe before last year, as part of all those changes, Jeannie Buss got rid of John Black, who was the head of PR for a really, really long time with the organization. And now he had issues with how he handled his job. But the Lakers, from a PR standpoint, have been kind of rudderless now too. And you know, it's not great when you sign Andre Ingram to a 10-day and the first instinct on a lot of people's part is to say, oh yeah, that's just your way of trying to steer the narrative elsewhere, right? It's a great story. It's a cool story. Andre Ingram deserves every bit of praise that he's getting for sticking with his dream. But we know what this is. If the Lakers were really invested in the dream the way that they're trying to show that they are right now, they would have at least given him a roster invite to training camp. They didn't. So these next few days, this next few weeks, these next couple months are going to be fascinating because you have a lot of people who don't like taking blame, but have a lot of blame to take. And it's going to be a roller coaster. You're going to see a lot of reports here come out about the way people handle their business. And I'll be right here to tell you all about them. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. Wow. I'm Anthony Irwin, telling you guys to have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Oh, get those questions in for tomorrow's show with Pete.